when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good afternoon, people. This is June the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2019, a day that will live in infamy. This is the real day of infamy, people. 52 years ago today, our United States Navy and Marines were attacked. To kind of mock FDR, our good communist, he said, yesterday was a day that will live in infamy. Well, that wasn't the day of infamy. 1967, 52 years ago, today was the day of infamy, and we're going to cover that up. We're going to cover that entirely. We're not going to let that go, people. And we're going to mix this in with D-Day. But before we do all that, we're going to go to our precious little co-host, our precious brother, Matt Goodwin. Matt Goodwin, son, take the prayer away, fella.
Absolutely. You know, God is a powerful God, and he's given us all the tools we need. And if we go to his word and seek him, then it says he will restore us and restore our land. So it says in 1 Thessalonians, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may live properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." Now, if we do these things and show what real love is, then maybe all these pretenders all around us that worship this love God that they all pretend, maybe we can show them what real love is. And so let's go to the prayer and call out to our Father.
Father, let's do it.
Thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for giving us your Son to die on that cross, who he took on all the suffering and all the sin of the world on himself. He died for us, Father. Thank you for sending him for that purpose. And thank you for calling us in to be priests through him. And Father, may we wash ourselves as we boldly approach your throne and ask for repentance for ourselves and repentance for our brothers and our kinsmen across this country. We pray that you will show forgiveness and teach these people what forgiveness is. We need it more than ever. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so very much, my spirit son. I hope you don't take offense to that. I just feel like Matt and Jacob or my true kin. I almost got tears in my eyes when you going to scripture and reading that prayer, Matt. I really did. Thank you so much. And Matt is so sincere. You know, I think he went to divinity school. I call it preacher school. But tonight, people, I'm going to give a quick outline, and we're going to napalm. Yeah, he went to preacher school. I could use that myself. But we're going to give a quick outline now, and because we got a lot to cover, Lord knows, I wish we could afford to have another hour. But anyway, here's what we're going to do. The first hour, Lee's in the studio with me tonight. Me, Lee, and Matt, we're going to cover this article and this travesty. I'm going to read the article by Paul Craig Roberts out of his Foreign Policy Journal, and we're going to talk about D-Day, how D-Day and the United States Liberty coincide. They have a relationship. Okay, we're going to do that, and we're going to cover, like I said, we're going to cover Liberty, D-Day, and some other select articles that's going to really make your blood boil. The second hour is going to be Matt's going to go, and he might hang around a while. Who knows what Matt's going to do? Matt's going to be Matt. But anyway, and you don't always know what he's going to do. I know he is the mole, though, Matt the mole. But the second hour, people, we're going to – that's true, isn't it, Matt? But the second hour, we're going to have Jacob coming on, our other little co-host, who my other little spirit son. And, you know, the old guys are in the studio tonight, me and Lee. Lee's not as old as I am. Nobody's old as I am. But anyway, we're going to have hopefully Paul Fromm is going to be coming in from Canada. And you never know with Paul what he's going to do. He's like me. I think Paul might even be older than I am, but he's supposed to call in. Sam's supposed to call him. And if we got everything set up in detail, Paul sends me back an email yesterday. Am I calling in on Skype? I said, no, we talked about this for 20 minutes, you know. We have everything. So anyway, not throwing too much stuff on Paul because us older guys, we get kind of confused sometimes. But anyway, people, get ready to rock and roll. I would start reading this article, but I don't think I have time to do much of it. Maybe I can take off a little bit of it. But like I said, after I read this article, it's going to be about 3.5 minutes probably. Well, Matt and Lee are going to destroy what the mainstream press's stuff they've been talking about, the Liberty and D-Day. Here we go, folks. 2 days ago, the United States celebrated the 75th anniversary of D-Day with accolades to the armed forces, thanks to surviving veterans. The country stood strongly with the military, but today, 2 days later, is the 52nd anniversary of a day of shame, and I say it is the real day of infamy. When Washington, our own capital of the United States, turned its back on the United States Navy, it was June 8th, 1967, I'm about to cry, y'all. When the United States Liberty, a surveillance ship stationed off the coast of Egypt, was attacked by Israeli fighter aircraft and torpedo boats. The Israelis were unable to sink the Liberty. They tried like hell to do it, but managed to kill 34 American sailors and Marines and wounded 174. 70% of the crews were casualties of the Israeli attack. And this article doesn't say it, but the United States ship Liberty was the most highly decorated ships in the history of the United States Navy. The White House, get this, this is what burns me up. The White House, fearing the Israeli lobby, prevented the United States Navy from going to the defense of the Liberty, thus sacrificing American lives and further dishonoring the United States Navy on the altar of our Judeo-Christian religion. I'll add that. That's my own adding there in brackets. By ordering McCain, father of the former United States Senator John McCain, to orchestrate a cover-up. And he was chicken. He should have never done that. He should have told the president to go straight to hell. He should have sent those fighters to rescue that ship if he had one shred of character. The surviving crew were threatened with court-martial and imprisonment if they spoke about the event. It was 20 years before one of the surviving officers wrote a book about the greatest act of shame in United States military history. Okay, this is what it gets you right here, your blood really boiling. In 2003... 36 years after the Israeli attack on the Liberty, a great, great man, Admiral Thomas Moore. He was a former chief of naval operations and chairman of the Joint Chiefs. People, I hear the music. We're going to calm down a little bit. We are really smoking hot in here tonight about this. I'm going to finish this little article, and then we'll turn it over to Lee and Matt. But God bless you for tuning in. Thank you so much.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress, now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Okay, people, we're right back. I'm going to finish reading this. It's not that long, and as you know, this is probably only the second article that I've ever read in the history of Blood River, but this is a great article, and my guys are going to come back, and they're going to dissect it as soon as they get through reading it. Like we said before we went to the break, a great, wonderful man, a great American, the Admiral Thomas Moore, the former chief of naval operations and chairman of the Joint Chiefs, they convened an independent convention of an inquiry into this, the Israeli attack on the Liberty, the recall of the military rescue support aircraft while the Liberty was under attack, and the subsequent cover-up by the United States. I'm just going to get a couple of Gore guys in on the commission. We're going to go to the next page. Two other guys in the commission were General Raymond Davis, former assistant commandant of the United States Marine Corps, and two great other guys, Rear Admiral Merlin Staring, former judge advocate for the United States Navy. Okay, after they convened their investigation, after they gave their stuff, guys, get ready. I'm getting ready to unwind here. They said the report was devastating. And among the report's conclusions, these are what stand out. That due to the influence of Israel's powerful supporters in the U.S., the White House deliberately covered up the facts of this attack from the American people. These are my brother's sailors and Marines, that due to continuing pressure by the pro-Israel lobby of the United States, this attack remains the only serious naval incident that has never been thoroughly investigated by the Congress to this day. No surviving crew member has been permitted to officially and publicly testify about the attack. My God Almighty. Thirdly, that there has been an official cover-up without precedent in American naval history. And keep in mind, this is the most highly decorated Navy ship in the history of the United States Navy. But no inquiry has been allowed to take place. Okay. Also, supported by statements of Rear Admiral Merlin Starling, the former judge advocate. Okay. Now, people, I'm going to read one more thing, and I'm going to my guys. That the truth about Israel's attack and subsequent White House cover-up continues to be officially concealed from the American people to this present day is a national disgrace. Lee, what do you think about that, my brother? It makes you want to join in the United States Navy, huh, buddy? Defend the flag. Go ahead.
Not really, but you know, we had that gentleman on a few months ago that said that Israel told them, if you don't move, I think that's right, if you don't move that ship, we're going to attack it tomorrow. And they did, and he's trying to make that documentary. I wish him luck, but I hope he doesn't get bumped off in the process, you know. And also, got one more thing. One of the reasons why it didn't sink is because a serviceman sacrificed his life and went underwater and closed a porthole to keep them afloat, and he died. And I learned that from American Free Press. I've learned that from the American Free Press. So that's one reason why it didn't go down. You know, scumbag, our president scumbag, Lyndon Johnson, you know, he was behind. He told everybody not to do it, not to go help him. But anyway, what do you think, Matt?
Well, thoughts that come to mind is they absolutely knew. You were right about them making contact with the ship before, but also there was huge American flags on this ship being displayed. It was not trying to hide its identity. It was very well displayed what ship. The numbers were large on the ship, had a huge flag. They flew over multiple times and saw the ship on many surveillance recon missions before they even started the attack against the USS Liberty. Now, I want people to remember all of this was that just so that Israel could do another land grab beyond the land that they'd already been given after the World War II events. This was all for just a midnight hour land grab that they were trying to do. And so here we are in the Mediterranean Sea, and they just start unleashing an attack, a hailstorm of rockets initially, and machine gun fire, strafing, and they're taking out all the radio towers. They said they took out every tower on that boat, every ability to communicate via radio. And they did manage to get out some sort of a help signal, and we had help on the way to help the boat. And one of the leading commanders recalled the airplanes to come back. So it was a tragedy all around. It was a disgrace from our country, and it was an absolute disgrace from international affairs to begin with. But you know, these men didn't deserve this. They didn't. They were there serving their country, just like the men on D-Day in June 6th, 1944, they were there to serve their country the best that they knew on the information they were given, you know, and little do these people realize that they're serving based on faulty information. They're serving based on a lie. You know, somebody's drawn the comparison. If you were a captain of a ship and you had a bad map, how could you possibly steer that ship correctly? Well, these young men are serving our country and being given wrong maps, being given bad leadership, being given corrupt leadership. That's what's happening with the USS Liberty. Back to you guys.
You know, I'm going to make a quick statement, ask you a question. And Lee's got a quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn I think we'll play in this thing so readily. You know, Henry Kissinger, bless his soul, I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to just quote. I'm just going to paraphrase it, Matt. Henry Kissinger says, and I think he was right. I really do. He said that the United States military was just a bunch of dumb animals to be used at the behest of the enlightened ones, the elite. Is that true, man?
According to John Kerry, Senator John Kerry, it was true. He said, maybe get smart and do something smart with your life. You know? Yeah. I mean, these people are they've got a really faulty perspective of what our military's for. As you mentioned in the, it wasn't under the USS attack on the Liberty. I mean, the attack on the USS Liberty was not reviewed by a congressional board. There was no investigation, and the Constitution calls for an investigation after an attack on us. And so we're dealing with people who have no respect of what we should be doing, and what the purpose of our military is for.
Well, you know, a long time ago, Matt, when I got drafted, I was looking at just a poor dumb animal too. And you know, I knew it. The blacks knew it. When I was in the bush, I would affectionately call them the N word. They would affectionately call me all kinds of other stuff. But we knew the score. But Lee, you have a quote over there that you want, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Read that, and if you don't mind.
Yeah. In our country, Russia, or I guess it was the Soviet Union then, the lie has been not just a moral category, but a pillar of the state.
What do you think about that, Lee? Is that true? Do we have a country here in the United States? Don't you trust the federal government, don't you?
Not really. There's too many corrupt, too many traitorous, seditious people, the elite, the Zionist, the military-industrial Zionist complex. You know, it's just, you know, we've been hijacked. So just like a lot of the Jewish religion has been hijacked by Zionism.
Well, you know, going back to this, what's so ironic about this, Matt and Lee, which is it's so sad. It ties in, and Matt brought it up. These our young guys, we were going, unfortunately, I knew what was going on when I was drafted years ago. But because my dad had told me, he learned that he was in the Pacific, the bloody Pacific in World War II, and he knew that war was a sham. But, that said, I guess I'm going to say, I hear the break. Hear the music. We're going to come back, and we're going to let my guys go where they want to go. But this got me all so upset. I can barely talk without crying, guys. But now, I was Army, but, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, they're all brothers, man. At least we used to be. We'll be right back, people.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The threat of tariffs on Mexico taken away. President Trump confirming it with a pair of tweets saying that the Mexican government and the U.S. have reached a deal under which the government of Mexico will help stop the flow of migrants towards the southern U.S. border. Mexico's foreign minister says it was a case of true compromise.
I think it's a fair balance because they have more drastic measures and proposals at the start, and we reached some middle point.
And the U.S. State Department says it amounts to an unprecedented series of steps to curb irregular migration. Hillary Clinton is mourning the loss of her brother. Clinton announcing in a tweet today that Tony Rodham passed away last night, although there is no indication of the cause of death. And you are listening to USA Radio News.
Blue Star medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Galveston Bay remains the focus of a search by Texas authorities for a local police chief who fell overboard from a fishing boat yesterday. Kima Police Chief Chris Reed said to have been knocked off the vessel near Texas City when it caught a wake from a larger passing vessel. A hiker's been found alive after being reported missing for 6 days in the Arkansas wilderness. The 37-year-old man was found dehydrated but in good spirits and otherwise good condition. U.S. Senator Mark Warner of Virginia pushing for increased election security ahead of the 2020 presidential election. He says in the Democrats' weekly address, Russia clearly hacked the 2016 balloting and could act again if safeguards aren't in place.
Using an army of internet trolls, Russia flooded social media with fake news and propaganda designed to sow discord and divide Americans through our news feeds.
And this is USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, it's making my day. If y'all people would just tune in here, as many as we can get to listen to us tonight. We're trying to do God's work. I'm not holding myself up to be a saint. Lord knows that. But anyway, we're trying to do what we can. And I'm getting ready to make a quick comment, kind of a little bit off script, but then I'm going to go back to Matt. We're going to start tying together the anniversary of the U.S. Liberty with the anniversary of D-Day and all the wonderful things that our soldiers, our Marines and airmen can take pride in, that they helped bring about the United States because of this war. I heard during the break, I listened to the news, it said that they got this inquiry about Russia hacking into our elections. Well, hell fire, people. What if they did? You know what? The Israelis and the Jews, they don't even have to hack our elections because they run our elections. They run our Congress. They own our Congress 100%. I think that was Ilhan Omad about a month ago. Me and Lee Cochran went down to raise hell with the Jewish congressman here in Memphis about, you know, creating all this anti-Semitism crap. You know, they own our Congress. They don't have to hack Jack. I want to get that in there. Now, if you will, Matt, you and I talked about some of these wonderful things that we can be so proud of. You know, that the grunts, the cannon fodder have sacrificed their lives on the altar of Judaism. At D-Day, and at Guadalcanal, and at Bougainville, where my dad was, and the Philippines, where my dad was. Tell us about some of these wonderful things that are going on nowadays, Matt. Go ahead, fella.
So, in wake of all this June 6th celebration, no, I'm not talking about D-Day honoring. We're talking about the Pride months that are going on. Then religiousnews.com. Jerusalem Pride Parade on June 6th draws thousands guarded by police. Says Leori, who is bisexual, has an uneasy relationship with Jerusalem, the city she has called home for a decade. She feels a strong spiritual connection to the city, but as part of the LGBTQ community, she feels unwelcome. I connect with the spiritual aspects of Jerusalem, she said, during the Tolerance March on Thursday, June 6th. I like it when Shabbat comes in and the quiet settles over the city. There is nothing else quite like it. But Halevi is also well aware of the antipathy many in Jerusalem, a religious conservative city, feel toward LGBTQ people. I personally haven't experienced any incidents, but there is fear. They're in the past Pride Parades, and they go on to talk about a couple of things. Then it says her family's here, and she moves on, and they talk about Jerusalem as the largest city in Israel, the capital city, and we believe that everyone around the world of any religion or orientation deserves to feel proud and welcome in Jerusalem. He said, that's admittedly a challenge, Erez said, in a city where some residents go out of their way to make LGBTQ people feel unwelcome. Last month, the city's chief rabbi demanded that no rainbow flags will be allowed at the march and makes the city ugly, according to Jerusalem Post. In recent days, a politically right-wing organization posted billboards asserting that only real family is headed by a father and a mother. Many members of the Facebook group condemned the billboards as offensive, and they also blasted the pride flags. And then one rabbi says, nationally obsessed with LGBTQ rights, as if it's our national identity. People, I'm hoping you get a picture of what's going on here. Unfortunately, on June 6, 1944, our men that went marching in and were facing hellfire and gunfire from pinnacles that they could not even reach. The first waves of Omaha were just mowed down. The seas of blood were raging out before even the second company could come in behind them. The Germans were unleashing hell on these men, and what they fought for all these years later was that cities in Israel could celebrate the largest gay pride parades ever. It's not just Israel. Let's move to usnews.com. NBCWashington.com, actually, it says, Pull out your rainbow flags. Capital Pride is here. D.C. boasts one of the most energetic and busy Pride celebrations in the country. Thousands of LGBTQ plus people and their allies turn out every year for tons of events celebrating the full spectrum of sexuality, capped off with a massive parade through DuPont Circle and Logan Circle. Here's your guide to it all, and they go through each day of what's going on. They actually missed a few days because I went and looked. They started June 8th, and there's actually stuff leading up to June 8th. Dance clubs and parties and festivals, all in the name of Pride. And I tell you, people, I ask you, Lee, and Eddie the question, would these queers, would these weirdos, would these freaks go and stand the machine gun fire of Omaha that our men suffered on 1944, June 6th? Would they dare rush those beaches?
No way in hell. No way. And you know something else? One more. Let me throw one more bit of napalm on the fires you've already started. You know, I see where the United States State Department, believe this or not, people, they had to deny embassy's request to fly the Rainbow Pride flag at official flagpoles. Official American flagpoles outside American embassies in places like Germany and Brazil and Israel. They had to bring those, they had to order those Pride flags to come down. I mean, you know, Lee and Matt, my brain, my skull wants to explode thinking here in my lifetime. I mean, I know I'm 72 years old. I've seen a lot of change, but my God, it hadn't really been that long. We used to be, at least we were professing a Christian nation, whether we were or not. I mean, that's up to debate. They say nobody knows if you're a Christian, but you were God, but we were a professing Christian nation. And here we are having to tell people to they can't fly the queer flag at the American embassies. I mean, what would our people say? You know, I have a great uncle that was killed in the First World War over there, you know, fighting in the First World War, which they say, like, we had a guy on the radio said that here on the show, it was Tom Goodrich, who said that actually it was World War Part A and World War Part B. But anyway, Lee, would you die, Lee, on the beaches of Omaha? Do you think they died for what the hell did they die for? And not to even mention, well, go ahead.
Well, you know, they died. You know, they helped create the apostate state of Israel. They didn't know it, but they did defeat, you know, Germany. But you know, something else, but I don't believe that the gay community ought to force their beliefs on us. And also they shouldn't, you know, try to influence people under 18, especially little children, where they have, you know, this man, 35-year-old man with the beard goes in to have a tolerance class with a five and 6 years old. I heard that was in Texas somewhere. And he had a record of being a child molester. That's just uncomprehensible, you know, to infect these little children who don't know anything to try to get them to be homosexual and try to change their personalities, you know, when they haven't even been formed.
You know,
I want to remind the audience, okay, I want to make it very clear here. While I don't endorse the fact that we went and invaded Germany, I do want to honor those men who had the guts and the courage to storm those beaches. You know, our very ancestors, those men, they were serving to the best of the knowledge that they had. And even though they were lied to, even though they were told those lies, they went in there with what they knew, and they attacked the enemy that was placed before them. Now, let me tell you, I'm looking at poster after poster after poster of war propaganda. Stuff like the famous "I want you" for U.S. Army. There's one, "Our boys have got your back, Captain." I mean, cartoons. These kids were raised up on cartoons demonizing Germany. These men, in their mind, they had a real enemy, and they were charging those machine gun nests. And that, I can't be prouder of the fact that those men had guts. Those men had courage. They weren't rushing beaches for these sodomites that we're seeing in D.C. and these sodomites in Jerusalem. And they damn sure weren't rushing beaches for Israel. They didn't even have Israel in their mind when they were doing that. So people, we need to honor and respect our veterans. And I'll tell you what else. One of these articles, let me pull it up. One of the rabbis for the Jerusalem parade. You know, he said Jerusalem, one of the, they had a counter-protesters protesting these sodomites. He said, Jerusalem is not Sodom, and keep the Holy Land holy. Amen.
Amen.
We can't even get our amen to that. You know what? You know what, guys? We can't even get a pastor in a Southern Baptist church to come stand up and say that now. Matter of fact, we've got a. I've been told, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. Make it on a limb. One of our largest, one of the most richest churches we have in Memphis, First Baptist, down off of Poplar Avenue here in Memphis, Tennessee. Rich, 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 rich. They have a sodomite minister. People, we got to go to a break. We're going to come back to another segment. Hold on to your seats. We're not through with the show yet. Not my lunch show. Be right back.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Between the parades, picnics, and fireworks from coast to coast, most of us are experts on how to celebrate Independence Day. This year, we invite you to join us at Liberty Hall in Far West Utah for a grand old 4th of July celebration that focuses on why we celebrate. From noon to 2 p.m., come and hear patriotic music by Radiant Productions. We'll be showing a screening of A More Perfect Union. Enjoy free hot dogs and popcorn. And hear Benjamin Franklin speak on the Declaration of Independence. Make it an Independence Day to remember Thursday, July 4th from noon to 2 p.m. at Liberty Hall, 3677 North Highway 126 in Far West Utah. Sponsored by Loving Liberty. All proceeds benefit Follow the Flag.
The Innis is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we're right back. I'm going to make a quick comment before we go right back to Matt. Matt's got a salient point he wants to make, but I'd like to ask you to go back to the article we read when we first came out on the show tonight. The inquiry board, but some of those highest-ranking, most honorable military officers in the United States came to the conclusion that basically what they were saying was our United States government here is much more concerned with the welfare and benefit of Israel than the Israeli citizens. And we could say, manifested by the point that we send, I say we, United States government, send billions of dollars to Israel every year. They're more concerned with them than they are our own citizens. And you can say the same thing down here about all these people pouring across the southern border. You know, as soon as they come across the border, all they got to do is they get one of these anchor babies. They have them every kind of government benefit you could possibly think of. Matt, before you go to your point, I'm going to ask you this question. You and Lee, is that what our ancestors fought for? Is that why they went to Normandy Beach? It's so we can have the Liberty shot down, almost sunk, so we allowed, get this. And I'm just one more comment. We had a radio commentator on a sports show, for God's sakes. I listen to sports just to get away from the battle once in a while, let my, you know, temperature calm down. And they were praising, oh, World War II D-Day. You know, it was the fight against the axis of evil, you know. But they forgot that the empty-headed little airhead sports commentator didn't know that, you know, the Russians, the Soviet Union, led around by the hair, as quote Roosevelt, the Jews were dragging the Soviet Union, the Russian people, around by the hair of the head, had a dead hold on them, and they murdered, actually there's more now than they say, they murdered 60 to 80 million people. The Jews-controlled Soviet Union Red Army murdered 10 times more people then they were lost in the battle. And that's what we were fighting for. They never mentioned that, man. Go back, if you will, Matt, before I get too wound up, and make your point, fella.
My answer to your question is I've talked to World War II vets who are now since passed, and they've expressed grief over where this country was heading. And I had two grandfathers that served myself, and I'm proud of their service. But I'm thankful that they didn't really want to go into the service. They just did. They did their duty, and they were in the Pacific. So I'm really proud of them. But, you know, I wanted to make a point. Last night I was at Walmart, and I saw Elvis.
Get down. Well, that's Lee Cocker. I got Elvis. Elvis is right here. Belt out of sentence.
Now, I saw Elvis. He was marching through the aisles, and he was singing. And believe it or not, even this many years after he disappeared, he's still drawing crowds. But let me tell you, the king is coming, people, the real king. And when he comes, they call it the Bible in the end, at the last book, calls it the great and terrible day of the Lord. And I wanted to read out of Revelation. Remember that thing I told you about the counter-protesters calling these people, calling Jerusalem, this isn't a land of Sodom. Remember, these people in Jerusalem are saying, this isn't Sodom. Chapter 11 in Revelation, then I was given a measuring rod like a staff, and I was told, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship there, but do not measure the court outside the temple. Leave that out. For it is given over to the nations, and they will trample the holy city for 42 months. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. He's talking about the beast. And if anyone would harm them, fire pours from their mouth and consumes their foes. If anyone would harm them, this is how he is doomed to be killed. They have the power to shut the sky that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying, and they have the power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they desire. That's a reference to Egypt, because the beast is referenced kind of like Pharaoh. He sits on his throne and proclaims himself to be God. So it says, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast that rises from the bottomless pit will make war on them and conquer them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city that symbolically is called Sodom and Egypt, where their Lord was crucified. What city is that, Lee?
That is Jerusalem.
Here. That is Jerusalem. For 3.5 days, some from the peoples and tribes and languages and nations will gaze at their dead bodies and refuse to let them be placed in a tomb. They're going to be celebrating, basically. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and exchange presents, because those two prophets who had been a torment to those who dwell on the earth. But after the 3.5 days, a breath of life come from God entered them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell on all of those who saw them. Remember these words, people. They're faithful and true.
You know, Matt, as proud as you are of your grandfathers, hey, I'm not blowing hot air. I'm proud of you. I really am. I tell you, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Anybody that knows anything about it, You do, son. I'm so proud of you. Well, I kind of lost track for a minute, but I'm going to go back. Let me ask you this. Now, the guy coming, let me ask you this. I know this is kind of an off-the-wall question, kind of maybe tongue-in-cheek. How many times will Jesus come back during the second coming?
How many times what? I'm sorry.
It might be kind of a trick question. How many times does Jesus return for the second coming? Does he come again, the second coming, or will he come the third time during the second coming, or the fourth? In other words, do we have this, premillennial, postmillennial, all that, I would call it rot. I guess I'll just call it triviality. In other words, do you believe that Jesus is going to come back and there's going to be all these thousands of years that Jesus is going to come back after Jesus is supposed to come back. He's going to rise all the good people. The dead will rise first, and Matt will correct me on this. Then the living will rise up, but he's going to come back later on. This is after the second coming now. Jesus has already come once. He's coming back again to judge the living and the dead. But according to these Baptist preachers here in the United States, he's going to come again. He's going to come the second time and save all of us good guys. And then he's going to come back. He's going to let the Jews go through what, 1,000 years of hell and torment. And I think Jesus is supposed to come back, but with a popsicle wagon or something. And he's going to preach to the Jews. And then for sure the Jews are going to be saved. Wow. What about that, man?
Well, I think when we first were looking for him, we were looking for a Messiah. But the second coming, he will be a king. He's not going to be a Messiah. He's not going to be a savior at that point. He's going to be a king, except he is coming to save those who he's sealed. So, I think there was one coming, and then there's another coming again, coming back.
He's going to come in his wrath. Sam was so right on this. Well, let me ask Lee this question to Lee. Mm-hmm. Lee, do the Jews, do they have to have Jesus Christ, or they've already got their special deal with Jesus Christ? Now, I've searched diligently in the King James Bible. It must be in that secret part, guys. It must be in the secret part of the Bible that only, the elect can read. But how about this? Do the Jews, according to Pastor, what's his name, Hagee, they don't have to honor Jesus Christ. They have their own special deal. I mean, they can do no wrong, man. They don't need no friggin' Jesus. What do you think about that, guys? Lee, go for it.
Well, I guess they've got a special pass, I guess. But they ought to talk to Chuck Baldwin about it. I'm sure Chuck Baldwin doesn't agree with that, because he's got some messages that explain that while Zionism and Israel are not kosher, in a way.
Well, I know what Matt would say. Matt would say that Chuck Baldwin's an anti-Semite. Wouldn't you say that, Matt? What would you say about that?
No, I don't think I'd say that. I think that's where...
Are you sure?
No, I kind of like the man myself. I think he's great. Actually, I kind of recommend him to our audience. If you ever have a chance, listen to him on YouTube. Unless he was purged in the Great Purge recently, YouTube counts him as an anti-Semite, I'm sure. But if not, and he's still there, have a listen, folks. He's really good.
Back in the day, go ahead, Matt.
Well, no,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, son. Go ahead.
I think in Revelation, I was just reading through it, and it talks about the seven churches. And, folks, if you are a Christian today, you received hearing the gospel. The Bible says you hear the gospel. You receive the gospel by hearing it. Okay? And if you receive
Amen.
The gospel... It's not my word.
Amen.
If you received the gospel, you received it from one of these seven churches, one of these seven strains that carried the message out. And in each of these seven churches in Revelation, God calls them either faithful and true, or some have fallen, but they need to get back. The Jews have Jesus came, and the Jews had a chance to hear him, and that chance, that opportunity, is not gone from them. They just reject him continually. Many of them do. So, and I'd say the same about most people. Most people seem to.
They miss the mark, is what you're saying, huh, Matt?
Yeah. They don't worry. You can't work for heaven. You can't do anything. You have to hear it. It says we've heard the gospel. So remember that, folks.
Well, I tell you what. That's the point. I never knew that Lee was such a Christian until and I've known him for years. And I'll be doggone, he used to teach Sunday school. I don't know if I brought that up or not. But, rattling this all back to D-Day, going back to D-Day, and even as far as early as 1967 with the attack on the United States Ships of Liberty, this point we were a Christian nation. But I guess our guys died in the sands of Iwo Jima, Guadalcanal, Europe, so we can have all these homosexual freaks marching and so we can have the Jews running our country. People, we'll be right back. We're going to, when we come back, we're going to have Jacob's going to be coming on. He's going to be kind of driving the show with Paul Fromm, if he can remember to call in. He's old like me. So hang on, people. We'll be right back after this break. Thank you, Matt.